So welcome to the Sunday Night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions from the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Jordan L., a compulsive overeater from Colorado.
Thanks. Thanks, Catherine. I'm going to start my timer. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I live out in the boonies. It's rural Colorado, and there's not very many people here. and actually, as a result of that, I work an entirely remote OA program, aside from making the five-hour round trip to a face-to-face meeting every couple of months, just so I can show up and be seen. And I go to a lot of fellowship events and stuff too, but so anyway, I came into OA. Well, I guess I'll backtrack a little bit. So I'm one of those people who has lived with this disease for a long time. I started compulsively overeating as a kid at probably like 8 or 9 years old. I started gaining weight at 10 and 11 and 12 years old. It really started to be noticeable in middle school, in the sixth grade, which sucked. I mean, middle school sucks already. It really sucks when you're a fat kid. So there is, as a result of that, the weight that I carried around as a result of this disease really affected me on much more than just a physical level. Those are the years when you're like creating self-esteem and emotional security and all of those things. And I wasn't able to like formulate those things well at all in any way, shape or form. So it really affected my lens through which I interpreted the world from a young age, from being like an adult, a young adult. So I hit 200 pounds by the time I was 14. I'm pretty tall. So I probably I'm 5'8", so I wear that better than someone who's like 5'4". But it was rough, man. I remember going from like an XL kids immediately into like an XL women's. I never experienced any of the small, medium, large, any of that. So I pretty much ate my way through adolescence, and found alcohol, pretty shortly after that, and drugs, and those worked a lot better, in euthanizing or, numbing me out, from having to feel my feelings or interact with the world or any of that stuff. So, I developed alcoholism and, actually ended up getting sober when I was 20 years old, and going back to school after it had not worked out the first time, and kind of getting stuff together in a very real way. But when I got sober, my eating disorder got much worse. It really took off in a way that I crossed a line that I couldn't cross back over again. So prior to this, like it had really been a choice to isolate and eat by myself. Whereas after I got sober, it really wasn't a choice anymore. It became something that I had to do. And it was getting to the point where I was doing it against my will, where I couldn't really use willpower to battle this anymore. I stopped weighing myself after I hit 200 pounds because it was like too painful to get on a scale. It was just like too real to be totally honest. So I'm thinking that maybe I hit like 250 or so, by the time I was 23. And that's when I walked into my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. So, I was familiar with 12-step programs at this point in time. and I was living in Denver. So I did go to face-to-face meetings. I actually got a sponsor and worked the first three steps out of the workbook and, went to, I think the suggestion is like six different meetings or something like that, because they're all so different. So you want to get a good idea of all the different options that are out there. I remember being incredibly relieved at my first meeting. I cried all the way through it, because I was really, really surprised to hear people talking about food in the same way that I ate in isolation. That was something that I found very relatable and very, I don't know, I guess like easy to lean into. but what I didn't hear was a whole lot of solution. And I had found a solution in AA. So I had pretty high expectations. I knew what the solution looked like. In Alcoholics Anonymous, like it was at this point, I was like 3 years sober. That was a goddamn miracle, man, that I was sober and I was, back in school and I was doing well and I was like happy about it. So I was pretty disappointed, to be totally honest, with my first couple of OA meetings. And the other thing that I had found in Alcoholics Anonymous was a really strong and very engaged fellowship of young people who were really making life after getting sober or a sober life very attractive. And I'm very, very grateful that I found that when I was 20 years old, because I don't think I could have gotten sober without people to demonstrate how wonderful life could be, living sober at such a young age, and going out and shooting pool at bars and not drinking and staying up until 3 o'clock in the morning, drinking coffee and, going to diners and eating lots of greasy diner food and all kinds of stuff. It was really clear to me at that point in time that Alcoholics Anonymous had most definitely saved my life. And I think I got kind of scared because I really didn't see that in OA. I didn't see a solution. And I was bummed because I knew what that looked like. So like I said, I tried it. I gave it a shot. it did not work out. So I actually ended up leaving Overeaters Anonymous. I was kind of like thinking, what I heard a lot of in meetings was that, I ate last night, but it's okay because I'm here today. So that's why I identify as being recovered today. It's not because I'm like super wonderful or special or anything like that. It's very much to get the attention of newcomers. And so that they know that this is something that you can recover from. because I didn't know that. I did not hear that when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous. I had no idea that you could recover from it. So I want to make it really, really clear that I have an eating disorder. I am a compulsive overeater, most definitely. I have recovered from that today. I do not compulsively overeat ever anymore. And not only that, but I'm very, very content around food, and I'm like happily abstinent. Like I happily refuse alcoholic foods that I had to like mourn and grieve over when I first got here. So it's a process, but recovered is like a real, true, honest to God thing. And my experience is that it really is something that is available to anyone. I will say it's not for everyone. It's for the people that are willing to do the work and are willing to put in the time and effort necessary. As far as like working a program goes, but it really is for anyone. My experience is that absolutely anyone can do this, and it is available to absolutely anyone. So I left OA, and I was just kind of like, I'll like figure this out on my own, which is very characteristic of me. That is very much my personality. And I can still be that way around lots of other things, for sure. I am also much better at asking for and accepting help today. But it does not surprise me that I left and tried to figure this out on my own. And these days, I'm very grateful for that experience. I actually ended up meeting a lady in AA who was also a compulsive overeater. And I asked her to be my sponsor in AA, and she tricked me and 12-stepped me back into OA. And gave me a food plan. And I had had a food plan before this. Like I had gone the first time in 2012, I had gone to a nutritionist and gotten a food plan. But no one talked to me about my alcoholic foods. They didn't talk to me about an allergy of the body, any of that. So this time around, we got a little bit further into the work, and she gave me a very restrictive food plan. Today I know that I didn't understand this at the time, but today I know that it's like a gray sheet food plan, which is like, it's got a whole bunch of rules. And she like restricted my caffeine intake, and it was like no salt, no pepper, no seasonings. No this, no that, no, 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 no. I was in a place where, I guess I wanted help. And I asked her for help, but it really came at quite a high price, as far as following this food plan went. And we never actually got into the steps. Like I just sort of got a food plan and started following it. And, at this point in time, like I look back now and I'm like, oh yeah, I was like mourning the food, but what that was coming out as was like rebellion and like arguing with her. And she was not having that. So she argued back. So anyway, what happened was that did not last. But I did adopt a food plan, and I did stick to it actually for 9 months. And I did lose a whole bunch of weight. I lost like 80 pounds and was a normal body size for the first time in my entire life. And I'm incredibly grateful for that experience today, because it showed me that I do not have a weight problem. I thought I had a weight problem when I came in. And what it showed me is that I compulsively overeat even when I'm not overweight, because that was kind of always the excuse that I used. Like if I was in a normal body size, if I could participate in normal things, then everything would be okay. And I wouldn't have to like soothe myself with food, right? I wouldn't be like stuck in this vicious cycle. And so this was the first time that I had ever been like free of all of my alcoholic foods. And I was pretty happy about it because of all this weight loss, you know? And quite a few things like turned around in my life at this point in time. I got a promotion at work, and I met a guy, we started dating. We're still dating to this day. He is my partner, my life partner. And we live together. We've lived together for like 5 years now, something like that. I guess what that experience proved to me was that I didn't have a weight problem, because even at the healthiest I had ever been, I went back to compulsive overeating. I picked up, I started picking up stuff that I hadn't even eaten before. There were like these crazy alternative, like crazy alternatives, you know? Like my alcoholic foods are chocolate is very much one of my alcoholic foods. Like I can't eat chocolate in any way, shape or form. And I like relapsed by like starting with like 80% dark chocolate. And then next thing I know, like I'm going back to the store and it's 60% this time. And then I'm going back to the store and now it's 40%. So it was very, very insidious, the way that I got back into the food. But what it proved to me was that this like alcoholic foods thing is real, you know, like I have this allergy, and it's very, very important. It's very important that I understand that, because my experience in working the steps is that I really have to accept that out of the gate, you know, like that's not something that working the steps is going to help me accept. I have to accept that in the beginning, that I have this allergy, that I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a distinct entity, as the big book identifies it in the doctor's opinion. So that I was proved that very, in a very real way, in a very real and personal way. And then what happened, one of the gals that I had met when I first came into OA, she kept in contact with me. And to this day, I love this woman dearly now. Like she is like my Ebby. Back then I didn't know why she was keeping in contact. I was like, I don't even like you that much. Like you don't act like you like me very much. Why do you keep calling me? So it's very clear to me that it was like most definitely a God thing, that it was like a higher power working in her life and my life. Very much so. So we kept in contact, and she called me up one day, and it was just like the right day. My defenses were down. Life was particularly unmanageable on this day that she called me. I had relapsed, so I had like gained back 40 pounds of the 80 that I had lost. And I was starting to get really scared, because I had been like trying to control it, doing some like exercise bulimia stuff and some other things that I kind of dabbled with, and it wasn't working. I was done for. And it was really clear to me that I was done for. And so she called me at this point in time, and I like admitted all this stuff to her. And I'm not even sure why I admitted all this stuff to her, aside from the fact that like I was incredibly isolated at this point in time. And there's probably no one else in the world that I would have told any of this to. but I admitted all of this stuff to her over the phone. And she said, she came back at me with like the perfect thing. She came back to me and she was like, yeah, Jordan, it sounds like you're pretty screwed. Like, I really don't know what to tell you. And it was perfect. I got off the phone. I like absolutely fell apart. I was like curled up in a ball on my bedroom floor, sobbing for the next like 45 minutes. Cause I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I had done the food plan thing and that hadn't worked. And, I had done the weight loss thing and that hadn't worked. And, this disease had come back with a vengeance the way that it always does. I became very willing very quickly to go to places that I just hadn't really been all that willing before. That was the other thing about OA. Like, you guys talked about feelings. Oh my God. We never talked about feelings in AA. Like, I went to a newcomers meeting where like the F-bomb was every other word. And that was my kind of meeting, you know? So, OA had been a little bit too touchy feely for me. I was a little bit too like sex, drugs, and rock and roll for OA, until I wasn't, until like this point in time when I was ready and willing to do anything this woman asked me to do. So, I went to her house and we started reading the big book together. And it took me about 3 months to take the first three steps. We were reading through the big book pretty slowly. I was also listening to a Vision for You meetings, phone meetings. Because like I said, it's difficult for me to get to face-to-face meetings. At this point in time, I was actually living closer to a face-to-face meeting. I lived an hour and a half away from one. So I was driving to that once a week. And then meeting with her after that meeting and reading the big book and listening to recordings of Joe and Charlie and listening to recordings from the Sunday Special Edition off of the Vision for You, off of their podcast archive. And I was like, I was at this point in time, like I was pretty 100% in. Just because I didn't know what else to do. Like, I truly did not know what else to do. And when I got abstinent, I had a lot of time on my hands and I really needed to fill it. So I filled it with all of that stuff. And then we got to step three and I guess I started talking to this lady about her higher power. And it became really clear to me that she did not have the kind of higher power that I was going to need in order to stay abstinent. For me, this disease is one of like self-loathing and punishment and pretty much like all of the nasty feelings in life. And what became really clear to me was that if I was going to stay abstinent, I was going to need a higher power. I was going to need a loving higher power that was going to be like on my side, not abandoning me when I screwed up, and really like loving me through this process. Because there were some crappy things that I had done that I was going to have to face up to. And I guess I knew that already because I had done the steps in AA. but what happened for me in that third step in OA was I really, became willing to like set aside my ego. And that was like a big turning point for me because I hadn't really had to do that in AA. I could stay sober in AA without actually having to do that. And I wasn't going to be able to do that in OA. I really was going to have to turn like my entire will and life over to this higher power. And I talked to this lady about that. And she was like, I got to be honest with you, Jordan, I don't have that kind of higher power. I was like, okay, well, that's what I need. Like, it is this, it's just real clear to me at this point in time. And so she actually let me go. She was like, I guess you need to be free and find something else. And again, I was really scared at the time, but very grateful for that experience now, because it pushed me to go to the OA birthday party for the first time. Because I needed to find a sponsor. Like, it's difficult to find a sponsor when you're working a remote or a virtual program. It's not quite as easy as when you're able to go to face-to-face meetings. So I decided to go to this conference, and I went with an amazing group of ladies from Colorado who really like demonstrated to me what recovery looks like. By hanging in there with me throughout this process. And I found a sponsor and was able to work the rest of the steps. And it was not easy. It took me a little bit longer than my sponsor would have liked for me to write my 4-step, but I did write it in, I don't know, like 3 or 4 weeks. And we fist stepped. It wasn't terribly long, but the stuff that I did have down on there was like, at that point in time, like deepest, darkest secrets that I really didn't want to tell anyone else. not a ton of harm caused to other people, but really like the stuff that I thought about other people, what was like going through my head. that it turns out was harming me more than anyone else. Right. And so I fist stepped with this lady, and took an hour to be quiet for my 6-step, and actually had to go to work after that. I was working evenings at the time as a food and beverage manager. So I actually got abstinent like around, I got abstinent in a position where I was around my alcoholic foods every single night, like really good versions, fresh baked versions of, all of that stuff. So again, it's just really clear to me that this is like, this really can work for anyone, you know? and I remember going to work that night and, just feeling really empty. And that is like the worst feeling in the world for a compulsive overeater to feel empty. So I guess what that feeling brought me was, like closer to this higher power that I was trying to cultivate a relationship with in my life. took the next couple of weeks to make my amends. Like I said, there weren't a ton, cause I made amends prior to this, right? I made amends in AA. So that really cleaned up a lot. The most important amends that I made in OA actually were the living amends that I made to the people that I reside with. I'm a shit partner. When I'm in the food and I can't even imagine being on the other side of that and like looking at this person and thinking like, wow, how am I going to build a life with this person? You know? So, yeah. So that was like the real important living amends, that I had to start making, and started living in 10, 11 and 12. That was kind of hard for me back in my AA days. I just wasn't like very diligent about 10, 11 and 12 on a daily basis. It was not difficult for me in OA at all in any way, shape or form, because I really understood, I really understood what a gift it was that I had stayed abstinent. So like at this point in time, I'm like 6 months abstinent and I started sponsoring people. I have about a minute left, so I'm going to kind of wrap up here. 6 months abstinent and I started sponsoring people and I was stoked. I wanted to shout out from the rooftops that you could recover from this. Cause like I said, I had no idea. So, I just like dove in head first. I got like, I think I had like 9 sponsees on the first day. It was terrible. It was an absolutely awful idea. And I learned a lot. But it was also good because I got to talk to each one of these people about my first step and a really, really clear understanding of this allergy and this obsessive mind, and why it is that I'm going to need to work the rest of the steps, that I'm going to need to get abstinent in the beginning to take care of that allergy. And then I'm going to need to work the rest of the steps in order to take care of this obsessive mind of mine. and as far as what it's like now, it's not perfect. Shit still happens. I got laid off in 2020 from my job, from a career that I had worked 5 years for. It was devastating and heartbreaking and probably one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And I stayed abstinent through the whole thing. And I got a new sponsor and I started working the steps again. and so like, that's how like I do this deal. I continue to show up every day. It is not perfect. It's really hard some days, but I am fully engaged in life today. I'm not numbing out on food in any way, shape or form. And showing up for myself and for the people around me. And I would not have it any other way. So I guess that's it. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan.